Good evening, members of the council. Welcome to this extraordinary meeting of the council. Item number one on the agenda is chairman's notices, which you will find on page four of your agenda. They relate to sound recording of meeting, what to do in the event of a fire, health and safety regarding the different levels of flooring within the chamber, and the fact that this meeting is being monitored and recorded by closed circuit television. Item number two, apologies for absence. Miss Billing, could you read them out, please?
Yes, so apologies received from Councillor Archer, Councillor Bankford, Councillor Kane, Councillor Dewitt, Councillor Doran, Councillor Mrs. Harker, Councillor Harker, Councillor Pelham, Councillor Shrimpton, Councillor St. Joseph and Councillor Mrs. Thompson.
Thank you very much. Any other notices of apologies? No, thank you. Item three is the disclosure of interest to disclose the existence and nature of any disclosable pecuniary interests, other pecuniary interests or non-pecuniary interests relating to items of business on the agenda having regard to paragraph 610 inclusive of the Code of Conduct for members. And I have to remind members that they are also required to disclose any such interest as soon as they become aware, should the need arise during the meeting. Members, any declarations of interest? No? Oh, Councillor Mrs. Channer.
Well, I'm also a member of Essex County Council, Chairman, who's consulted on matters of holidays and other aspects, access, etc.
Thank you very much. Any others? Right, members, then we move on to item four on the agenda. I just need to check that you've all got the members' update, which should be in front of you. It was sent out electronically as well. And I also need to remind you that this is full council sitting as at a meeting of full council to determine a planning application. It's not an area committee, so full council rules will apply. Now, we will have the report from Mr. Woodger, please, and then afterwards there is a speaker from the Town Council. Thank you, Mr. Woodger.
Good evening, members. You asked to determine the planning application for the erection of 75 dwellings as a reserved matters application for the approval of the appearance, landscaping, layout and scale of approved planning application OUT MAL 1400108, which itself was outlined planning permission for 75 dwellings. Originally, members refused this site and refused outline planning permission, which went to inquiry in November 2016 and the 2015. Beg your pardon.
It's the wrong title.
What it should read, and it's my error, I'll put the slides together, is land south of March Road, Burnham on Crouch. The rest of the information on that slide is factually correct.
The report correct.
One hopes. So planning permission was originally refused by members of the South East Area Committee. It went to inquiry in November 2015. The planning inspector in granting outline planning permission granted planning consent for all matters being reserved save for access. So this application seeks permission for the appearance of the site, landscaping, layout and scale. That's the site in red. If I can draw members' attention to the dog leg on the top right-hand corner of the screen, that is the access that's been served for the whole road. The whole road will take access off Marsh Road to the north and not off the residential estate to the immediate west of the site, including Pippins Road. That is a view of the site as is applied for. You're asked to look at appearance, scale, outline, etc. That is a more schematic drawing showing you an additional image to show the relationship of the dwellings to the site and the residential properties which adjoin it are shown in faint ink on the left-hand side. Those are dwellings in Pippins Road. Access will be from the bottom south west corner. All dwellings will face out onto the highway. And I'll show you some elevations of the dwellings that are present. This shows you a schematic of the open space, which is between some of the house parcels. And you can see from that, obviously, formal and informal landscaping is proposed between the dwellings themselves. That shows the western, the eastern edge of the site and the footways and the connectivity through it. And in the bottom right corner is a suds basin for sustainable urban drainage. Photographs of the site. This is the site from the access road looking across the fields to the east. The southern boundary of the site is delineated on the right-hand side of that photograph. This photograph is from the same position, looking in a north-easterly direction across to the hedgerow at the top there, which will form part of the Hall Road. As you can see, it's just an open field at this present moment in time. That is the relationship with the western boundary of the site, showing the boundary with the existing dwellings in Pippins Road. That's the route to the site along Alexandra Road, and that's the view taken from Station Road. That is a view down Pippins Road showing you the vehicular access to the site. That is for the residents of the 75 units, and that itself is the access point. That is Marsh Road heading eastwards, which will take the construction traffic, and that is a route down which the construction traffic will take southwards and then westwards into the application site. That is a plan showing the boundary detailed layouts. The green lines are brick walls. The hatch lines are fences separating the dwellings. That shows you the materials layout, showing the difference in materials. What I would say is that materials are conditioned to be agreed by a further conditional application. House types. Some various house types. That, for example, is one of the house types there, which is a three-bedroom unit. That there is a four-bedroom unit. That is a three-bedroom unit, is a pair of semis. That is a three-bedroom unit. That is a two, and a terrace. And that is a four-bedroom unit on large properties, and the same there. That is also a four-bedroom unit, and just sample elevations of garages. So what you see on the site is typically two-story dwellings with pitch roofs above it. Some of the dwellings have chimneys, just a mix of weatherboarding, render, brick, and tar roofs. And that's showing you the suds attenuation across the field to the west. That shows you the vehicle manoeuvring inside the site. You'll see in the consultation responses that the fire service asked to make sure that fire access could be achieved to all the dwellings, which it can be. The fire department raised no objection to this particular planning application. And that's a similar one showing the turning facilities within the private drives at the end of the roads. And that shows you what in the bottom corner of the red line site, the area which is set aside in the section 106 agreement for a pavilion if members consider a pavilion is needed at a later stage when development is started. The pavilion building is essentially a building to house equipment facilities for the allotment to the south. It isn't a pavilion in the true sense of the word, i.e. it's not a sporting pavilion. So recommendations is to approve subject to conditions. I'd just like to draw your attention to some of the objections. Obviously, Birmingham Town Council have raised objection. That's on page 15 of your report, and you'll see the officer response there. In terms of, on page 17, there is a comment from Leisure and Livability, who typically comment on landscape and ecology issues. The update I can give you is that they raise no objections subject to the imposition of conditions, and those conditions are numbered 16 and 17 on the report. And I reiterate that recommend that planning permission be granted subject to conditions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Now can we hear from our speaker from the Town Council, Councillor Wendy Stem. Come to the microphone, thank you. You know the drill. Just pull the microphone down a bit. Switch on. And you have 2 minutes from when you start.
Thank you, Chairman and members. Birmingham Town Council do not support this Reserved Matters application due to the fact that all the affordable houses are being built in one section of the development. This is contrary to policy H2 of the emerging LDP. We note the officer's response but do not accept it. The affordable housing providers confirmed that they have no say in where the properties are built prior to being handed over. Their preferences on shared ownership sites are full integration, not segregation. The police also do not support affordable houses being in one area. They do prefer pepper pot, fully integrated homes that reduce crime, community cohesion and spirit. The lack of one-bedroom properties is also in breach of policy H8. Burnham needs smaller starter homes and they do not have to be flats. The Charles Church strategic site on Green Lane are building one-bedroom terrace starter homes and I'm sure they will be snapped up very quickly. Also, when Birmingham Town Council discussed this application, all the supporting documentation was not available, but we ask that you take Catherine Bailey's memo dated the 3rd of May fully on board. We do not want wood chip footpaths and agree with all her comments. Can you please condition this? We welcome the much-needed affordable homes are being built in Burnham and Crouch, and we thank the council for ensuring delivery, but we ask that you consider where you accept their location. It is vital that affordable homes are not stigmatised and separate from market-priced houses. Thank you, members.
Thank you very much, Councillor Stamp. Right, as it's full council, I'll pass the deputy leader to open the debate, please. Councillor Cooper.
Thank you, Chairman. First of all, I just remind members that this was originally granted approval at a public inquiry with all matters reserved apart from access, which you'll see the details of that, paragraph 3.1.2 on page 9. And the other important thing to know, or to note, that there was a formal pre-application meeting with members and officers on the 21st of September, and that as a result of the express concerned and the recommendations of the Urban Design Officer, the layout was changed as a result. You'll find that information on paragraph 5.2.2 on page 13. Chairman, as a matter of clarity, before I make a proposal, I wondered if the officer could confirm that the construction construction phase management plan will include a condition that prohibits any parking of constructors' vehicles outside of the site. This is to protect the residents of the Pippins and indeed people who use the other end of the Hall Road. Thank you, Chairman, but I will come back with your permission.
Just comment on that, please, Mr. Fletcher.
Thank you, Councillor Fluker. That is absolutely correct. The access Hall Road, I'll try and show you that again in more detail.
It was the last one, was it?
It's essentially this road here going up to the north here. The intention is to use that long access road across those fields for construction access. There is sufficient room within this site to be able to put any vehicles associated with the construction activities without any vehicles needing to be on the road. There will be no vehicles using Pippins Road or any of the residential areas onto the western side of the site.
Grateful, Chairman, and I'm sure Mr. Woodger will make sure that that is a condition. Chairman, that said, I would propose that we agree the officer's recommendation. Thank you.
Is there a seconder to that proposal? Thank you, Councillor Dobson. And now, anyone wish to debate this? Do you want to ask any questions of the officer? Councillor Mr. White.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Basically, I'd like to commend I'd like to commend the two-bed terraces because there are a lot of young families with children who need the second bedroom, so I actually like that idea. But the member of the public raised an issue over footpaths, and I'm very concerned if they are going to be wood chip, because wood chip is going to be hopeless through most of the year. So I would like to see if we could, and I suppose it's loosely condition 9, whether we could do that for road planings or type 2 or something similar, which is porous and allows drainage, but would actually stand up to other use. I mean, I know the footpath is supposed to be on foot, but everybody will cycle on it, whether they're meant to or not, and wood chips is going to be a disaster. So I'm just wondering if that can be put into one of the conditions. I mean, I'll have to take the officer's idea on that one.
Mr. Woodger.
In response, thank you for your question. Condition 16 and 17 will adequately cover that because it relates to both hard and soft landscaping. Thank you. And we'll note your concerns and I'll make sure you know that.
Councillor Mrs. Acevedo.
Thank you, Chairman. Yeah, a couple of things. Firstly, it was said in Mr. Widger's report that there are two-bedroom terraces, and I understood, and please put me right if I am wrong, that they were all either detached or semi-detached properties, I believe it said in the report, but you can come back to me with that in a moment. Also, I did speak to Mr. Woodger, he kindly returned my call this afternoon, regarding the six homes that are lifetime homes, which I don't know if everybody was aware, but I wasn't aware of exactly what that meant. And apparently it means that that would be suitable for all, but easily adaptable to disabled people if it becomes necessary. Now that to me is fantastic, and clearly it's not part of our policy, but it was put in by, I believe, one of our officers. That I think should be something that could possibly be conditioned or put into any further application, large scale application. I think it's a very good idea. The other thing is also the lack of one bedroom homes, I think, is a problem. And not all, when it becomes affordable, or certainly I believe that all these homes that are going to be put in that are affordable or whatever else they come under affordable should be integrated, and I absolutely agree with the Town Council in respect of that. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Hurd.
Thank you, Chairman. Page 13, please, 5110. Just some clarity on this. It says the vast majority of houses will have garages, available private amenity space and on-plot parking. The vast majority, is that referring to garages, or does it say the vast majority of houses will have available private amenity space? In other words, some will not. Is that just the way that it's worded?
Answer that, Mr. Woodger, please.
There is a parking court proposed on the top left-hand corner here, and as you will see, some of the houses don't have garages. The vast majority do, but they will all have available private amenity space to assist design guide standards. I think I've probably missed a comma out somewhere in the report.
Mrs. Channer.
Oh.
Thank you, Chairman. I'm following actually from Councillor White's point and Councillor Acevedo's actually, and I agree with Councillor White, two bedroom properties are acquired by families within Wirra. However, I'll note that in response to the Burnhamon Town Council's points, conversations were held with the Strategic Housing Manager, who said that actually the two-bedroom affordable dwellings are in demand in Burnhamon Crouch, and this will free up the existing one-bedroom stock in the Burnhamon Crouch area. So I'm assuming from that the families that Councillor White refers to, for which there's a much needed, may be living at the moment in the one-bedroom properties. I would have thought in one-bedroom properties, and I'll be corrected, largely may be occupied by single occupants or couples, so I could be wrong. So I'm just trying to work out that dynamics in my head, how two-bedroom properties taken by families will release the one-bedroom stock in the Burnhamon Crouch area, and I would like to know the numbers of the one-bedroom stock in the Burnhamon Crouch area and the occupancy. Thank you.
I don't know whether you'll get that answer this evening. Mr. Woodger, can you help with that?
The response as reported in the officer report represents a conversation I had with the Strategic Housing Manager, Mr. Gaylor. The Burnham Town Council's point was put to Mr. Gaylor. Mr. Gaylor gave that answer. I don't have any data available to me at this particular point in time about the number of one-bedroom dwellings, how many people are in those one-bedroom dwellings, and if they represent overcrowding. I'm sorry, but I just don't have that information in front of me.
Councillor Miss Lewis.
Thank you, Chairman. Just a couple of small points, really. I think that we've had an awful lot of consultations here that haven't reaped any reward, and I think it might be worth minuting that we've had no response from the NHS, from Essex County Council Education Department, from the Environment Agency or from Anglia Water, because I think that these are statutory consultees, and I think we really need to start noting that they're not responding. It tells us on paragraph 4.3.6 that significant weight is given now to the to our emerging LDP, and I was wondering by whom, because certainly inspectors don't seem to be particularly consistent about that. And I would also like to ask about the Hall Road. In paragraph 5.1.4, it tells us that the construction accesses via the Hall Road, and that certainly was in the preamble. It tells us that after the construction period is finished, that traffic will enter via Pippins Road, but it doesn't actually condition that the Hall Road will be removed and reinstated. And I think that that's important, because if it's left there in any way, shape or form, it will get used. So for avoidance of future aggravation, I think that we should condition that the Hall Road is removed and reinstated. And finally, we used to have a sort of catch-all condition on enabling new homes for broadband, and it doesn't seem to have been included on this, and I think it's most important that it, in view of what we've been trying to do as authority, it should be on every application, please. Thank you.
Mr. Woodger, can you answer that? The Hall Road to be cleared and the broadband.
I'd just like to also respond, if I may, to the Councillor's comments about education, health and highways. Education provision, the provision of travel plans and travel packs for the residents, and also a health authority contribution, are in a 106. So at the outline stage, the health authority and those of the consultees did have an input, and they're in this. And there are triggers in the 106 agreement that require payment of those of certain fees. So I would have said that they are aware of it. The Hall Road, there is a condition attached to the outline consent. Here we're looking at reserved matters. We're not looking at, I can't duplicate conditions that are already on the outline permission. And there is a construction method statement, and there's a construction method plan. And within condition 6 on the outline permission, it says the plan should include details arrangements to ensure that the road is used as a sole route into the site by construction traffic. Details should be provided and detailed timetables for closure and the removal of the Hall Road. So it's already there. But we looked at it, and I can't duplicate the conditions. Broadband. Granted, the condition's not on. I don't know if there is super fast broadband in Birmingham. Maybe your members will give me an indication of that.
But they're nodding. So that does need to go on.
Then if you're quite happy, Chairman, to defer the addition of our standard condition to me, I'll make sure that's put on.
Does everyone agree with that, that the broadband condition is added? Right, I think, Councillor Mrs. Elliott, I think you're next.
Could you reassure me that none of the garages are in blocks on this site, so they're all next to the individual property?
Of course. If you look at this detailed layout plan, you can see that there are occasions where there are two garages together, such as here, but obviously one is for one property, one is for the other. The straightforward answer is there aren't any communal garage areas. The only communal parking areas at the top here are the parking court. That's it. There are no communal garages. The most you get are two together, and they're between houses. Most properties have got a single garage, which is standalone within their curtilage.
That's fine. Thank you. Okay. Councillor Hurd, you wish to come back? Be brief, please.
Well, I was trying to make my second point. I was cut short on my first, Chairman, if I may. Is it not true that these houses will be subject to market prices? There's no guarantee that those in a one-bedroomed house will achieve a purchase on a two-bedroomed house, I can't really understand the response from the officer, because they're subject to market prices, surely.
I think the officer purely responded to what the housing manager had given him, and he wasn't able to give the figures that were requested, and I thought that was adequate answer, to be honest.
I think, if I can speak over you, Mr. Chairman, but obviously 30% of these houses are affordable houses anyway, so they're either between affordable rent or rent to buy. The rest of the houses are market houses subject to normal market rates.
Mrs. Acevedo, you want to come back as well?
Yes, thank you, because my question wasn't answered, actually. I did say that the officer, Mr. Widger, had said that the two bedrooms were part of a terrace, and in 5.1.8 it says all dwellings are either detached or semi-detached. So could you please show me where the terrace is? Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor. There aren't any terraces. That's my error. They're all semi-detached or detached.
Okay.
Can I also point out, also members did see a slide about, you asked a question about lifetime homes. Now, if I can just show you this, beg your pardon, sorry, I'm not used to tech. This, I'll show you the slide of one of the houses. This is one of the two-bedroom houses. I added this on following our conversation this afternoon. As you can see from this, the resolution's not great, but if you look at these properties here, you will see that in the middle of these rooms there is a circle. That circle shows you can turn a wheelchair around. These doors are wheelchair accessible, and you can turn wheelchairs around in these. So, typically speaking, houses are built without disabled provision. But the idea is, through lifetime homes, if you have, there are a number of tests, there are actually 12 tests, and I don't wish to go through those now, but they have to have level access, plugs at a certain height, etc. And also a straight staircase that you can put a stenner in. So this shows you how the ground floor can be used by someone in the event that person is in the wheelchair.
I think it's also true that they have quite large ground floor loos, which can be converted into wet rooms at a later stage.
That's absolutely correct, yeah.
Right. Anybody else wish to make any comment about this, or anyone want to speak against the proposal? Because I've got a valid proposal. Judy seconded. Councillor Blue, did you want to sum up?
Well, Chairman, I think Mr. Woodger's almost done that by answering the members' questions, but I think the location of affordable and social housing, that's something really for design and maintenance in the future. So I think that is what it is. And Mr. Gaylor's been quite clear on what he considers is the correct housing mix. As far as giving weight to the LDP, I'm sure all members would have seen Claire Victory's most recent decision, which was sent to the members on the 16th of May, where she actually says considerable weight should be given to the emerging LDP by virtue of where it is. So, and as for broadband, I think that's a very important point. I'm surprised it's not conditioned in there, because I thought it was supposed to be conditioned, but I'm delighted that the officers picked up on that. But Chairman, I've made my proposal, it has been seconded, yeah. And I respectfully ask that it's put to the members. Thank you.
All those in favour of the proposal, please show. That's any against? Two against, but the rest of us seem to be in favour, and I've abstained. Thank you very much indeed, member. There are no other items on the agenda, and I close the meeting at 8:01.